Sportscast, April 24th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest when it comes to sports and soccer. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You could get the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. Bayern Munich has reached the proverbial mountaintop of Europe, winning the UEFA Champions League final over Paris Saint-Germain on Sunday, 1-0. That's all it took. The German Giants defeated their French foes with a low-scoring game, but one goal is all you need in the final. And a person that only believes in one goal is enough, Fernando Ulao. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hello, Santiago. How are you? It's a pleasure, as usual, to be here and ready to talk about some soccer, some nice Bayern Munich versus PSG, and what it leaves us after
and
the game,
what it entails. Anyways, I was watching the match at a German pub yesterday. A couple Germans, not too full, obviously, because people are a little bit hesitant with the coronavirus. Totally understand, but overall, the match was really good. I thought PSG and Mbappe. You saw some spurts of him, you know, going here and there. I didn't see much of Neymar. Maybe you did. But Fernando, give us your conclusive analysis over the match.
All right. So I guess it all comes down for me, very importantly, the work of Hansi Flick with this Bayern team. I mean, seeing the numbers, seeing the games, you can definitely tell that Bayern actually deserved to win the title. And I mean, that was it. I mean, PSG had their opportunities. You had a solid Manuel Neuer on the goal. So that was bad news for PSG, but the best news for Bayern. And also some of the PSG players were a little bit, you know, off target when it came to the final play over there. Di Maria had a clear shot with a great pass from Ander Herrera that left the defense just, you know, standing still. And also you had, you know, Neymar with a shot that Neuer stopped, Mbappe with another shot that Neuer stopped right in the middle of the penalty box. And I actually think it was a bad shot from Mbappe. But tactically, Bayern was way better. And also, what I've been saying for a while now is Bayern Munich, their physical, the stamina they have right now, I mean, their physique is amazing. They run for the whole 90 minutes. They pressure for the whole 90 minutes. They leave PSG without options, actually. And that's why you barely see Neymar picking up the ball. And he was a bit frustrated. He immediately had three players covering him. So it was a very tough game for PSG. Whenever they had a space, of course, they made some damage. But they barely had the ball. And they barely had the opportunities. And another very important detail, tactically speaking, is since Bayern likes to press up so high, you can see that Manuel Neuer is also almost three-fourths of their field. So he's almost playing as a defender for quite a bit, allowing the defenders or the midfields to play back with him and, you know, creating, maintaining the ball in every part of the field.
Bayern Munich scored in the 59th minute by Kingsley Coman, who had a great match. His domination down the left side was creeping up on PSG all night, and he got the chance when Joshua Kimmich, which you mentioned, whipped in a beauty to the unmarked form Parisian, who headed the ball past killer Navas. Navas had a good match. Manuel Neuer also had a great match. You know, Neuer had had a one-on-one situation with Mbappe. But do you think it really came down to goalkeeping?
I think a big part of the game came down to goalkeeping, for sure. I mean, there were plenty of interventions. I think Navas saved one from Lewandowski, a header that was crucial to the game. And I do believe a big part of this final was by the keepers, was played by the keepers.
Another situation that there was two penalty situation. The first one was Coman being brought down right before the half through the shoulder. What we've been seeing through this Champions League, the VAR hasn't been relied on as much as like the other leagues. But what was your thought over that one penalty situation? Well, potential situation for a penalty. Do you think it was a penalty, or do you think it was the right call by the ref?
I think he should at least, check the VAR, or maybe the VAR checked it and they decided it was not worth. But again, we need to remind everyone that when this sort of situations happen, who has the final say is the referee. So if he was right in front of the play and he said there was no foul, then there's nothing for VAR to do. In my opinion, there was a pull. Kingsley Coman was, pulled a little bit. Maybe it was just a touch more than the pull, but it was definitely a silly move from the defender. He shouldn't have done that because it could have ended in a penalty. And I would probably call that penalty.
Yeah, that was very borderline. Watching so much Premier League games, I thought that would have been called, to be honest. But it wasn't. It wasn't. And it could have changed like the whole nature of the game a little bit, but it just wasn't called at all. A whole nother situation happened at the match where I noticed was Boateng getting injured. And I can't remember who was the player that came in for him.
It was Nicolas Sule.
Yes. How did you think the whole situation was changed by Bayern Munich, or you think that like he was able to maintain what Boateng was doing these past couple games?
Yeah, definitely he maintained the position. Sule was playing before a while back, but then he got injured, I believe, and he stopped playing. And Boateng was having a nice run, but Sule entered the pitch with the same idea. I'm 100% sure the coach Flick told him you gotta go keep what they're doing, what the team is doing. So, and I think he managed to do that. It was a shame that Boateng got injured. 23 minutes into the game. Groin injury apparently, and so it was tough. Lucky for them, they were still 0-0 on the scoreboard, so that definitely takes down a little bit of pressure for Sule coming in. But then I believe Sule did a great job, and he maintained the tactic information the coach established.
Also, another penalty that was in the second half was Kylian Mbappe was brought down in the box at the 74th minute. Did you think that was a penalty, or was that the right call by the ref?
No, that was a penalty. That was that. This one, I can say with certainty, that was a penalty. You can see the replay. Mbappe moves the ball forward, and Kimmich hits his back foot. So that was a penalty, 100%. I have no idea why there wasn't even VAR intervention in that one. Or maybe it was like I didn't call the first one, so I'm not going to call this one. You never know what's going on, but that one was 100% a penalty.
Yeah, and that was 74th minute. That could have tied up the match and potentially going on the penalties, you think?
Yeah. It was a very tight match, although there were several opportunities for both teams. You could see the level of concentration, the level of focus each of the teams had. Nobody wanted to lose, and they were still playing to win.
Also, Verratti came into the match. First time I see him in a while. Do you think he brought in some value when he came into the game?
I think he did not make a difference when he came in. I mean, it was pretty much the same. But maybe if he would have played from the start, he would have made a difference. I think Verratti is a very skilled player, and maybe that would have helped a PSG gain control of the midfield, which Bayern totally controlled for the entire game.
Yeah, pretty rusty, coming in coming into like the UCL final like that. It's kind of tough, and obviously trying to come back from a 1-0 deficit, it's kind of difficult for Verratti to do. So this Bayern Munich team. Fernando, do you think this is a team that you could see them winning a few more Champions League titles? Like, where do you see this team right now? Plus, like, their future?
Sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. How do you see, like, Bayern Munich? They had an impressive tournament, killed Barcelona and killed, like, the other opponents. Do you think this is the team of the future down the road for the next 3 years or so?
I think more than the team of the future, this is the team of the now. I mean, Bayern have great players. They proved it. And beyond great players, they have a great team.
One other thing that I've noticed, that the manager that took over this season, that he used the veteran players. He used Mueller and he used Boateng. Like, these players were kind of at the end of their prime. Some say they peaked. But do you think that was smart for the Bayern Munich manager to use these veterans to carry this team?
100%. And I'm not sure I would call, I mean, Lewandowski, Mueller a veteran yet. I mean, he's 30 years old. He's definitely very mature. And I would think he is on his prime right now. He's a very smart player. And besides that, I mean, he has the ability. So it just adds on. Great choice by Flick on having Mueller. And Boateng is a lot of experience. When you have seasoned players like that, they definitely add up to your team. And Boateng, yeah, I mean, he's a little bit older, but nevertheless, he's playing great.
Bayern Munich is potentially, well, actually going to lose Thiago Alcantara, and they're bringing in Sané for next season. What do you think about those changes? Do you think Bayern will lose a step, or do you think they'll be okay?
I think they'll be okay. I mean, they have plenty of people on their midfield. So although losing Thiago, I mean, losing a player like Thiago is going to hurt everybody. But I think they have enough backups. And the addition of Leroy Sané, who probably will be playing in that side where Perisic and Kingsley Coman play, is a great addition. Leroy Sané has proven to be a great player, very fast. Loves to get on the ball and run forward. He's great at crossing balls and also great at shooting. So I think that's a great addition. I don't think they're losing something very big, but definitely, I mean, I am pretty sure that they will miss Thiago in some way.
Which Thiago is heading to Liverpool, so which is good for my team. So no complaints there. Pavard, some say he should play in the center back rather than the right back. Would you agree with that?
I mean, he played center back with France. He's also played center back with Munich. But I think he's very versatile. I think you could play him in both positions. Me particularly, because of his speed, I'd rather have him as a center back. Nevertheless, if you play well positioned, like Bayern's proven, you can see also Kimmich is not the fastest player. But when you position yourself in the right place in the field, then maybe you don't have to run that much. But then again, when you have a player like Mbappe, and we could see it yesterday, Kimmich wasn't able to run to his side in one of those plays. It was dangerous. Gladly for Bayern Munich, I mean, the whole defense was able to, have enough men to stop Mbappe when he went down on the penalty box.
Speaking about Kimmich, there's people that are saying that he should be moved up to the midfield. Do you think that'd be a good area for him?
I think that's a great area for him. And on that note, I would like to quote, Jose Mourinho's words, that he believes that Kimmich is a 10 out of 10 player in every position he wishes to play. And I think he does a great job as a right back, and he does a great job as a center mid as well.
Very diverse player.
Yeah, and those are very two different positions, which is, sometimes you can see like Alphonso Davies. He used to play as a left winger, not a left back, but he's doing a great job at a left back. You know, those two positions are maybe a little bit similar, but playing right back and center mid, it's very different. And it's amazing to see that Kimmich can actually pull it out and pull it out very well.
Fernando, the PSG team came close. They definitely, narrowed Bayern Munich to just one goal. What is the future of PSG? Is most of the team coming back? Are they into rebuilding? I know they have some few veteran players and, of course, rumors about Mbappe going to Real Madrid. But what is the future for PSG looking like?
I think as of right now, I mean, maybe I don't know if Alphonse Areola is coming back, the goalkeeper. And Thiago Silva is rumored to be leaving for Chelsea.
Yeah, that's
they don't
huge.
Know on a free transfer. Yeah, that's very big.
That came out of nowhere, by the way. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, that was a surprise. And then the possible exit of Mbappe, that's going to be a huge hit if it happens. So, I mean, you never know. I think they have a solid team. If they reinforce themselves, I mean, losing Thiago is going to be big for them. Some people say Thiago is, I mean, is no longer one of the best defenders because of his age and everything. I think he is a great defender still. And they're going to have to put someone there that's going to be able to do his job.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. Now, Mbappe, like, is he still rumored to go to Madrid, right? Is that, like, the number one destination for him?
I mean, that's what the media would say. I'm not sure if that's the number one destination for him. I would like it if that was, for sure. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure Florentino is still trying to get Mbappe. Real Madrid, in all of its layers, are still trying to get Mbappe. And especially, you know, Zidane bringing all this, being French, he would love to have Mbappe there for sure. I mean, any coach would love to have Mbappe on their team.
But realistically, there'll be no movement in like the next few weeks, or do you think this could, you know, potentially happen?
I think a lot of things have to happen. First of all, Real Madrid needs to sell a lot of their players in order to get capital. The COVID has also damaged the pockets of the team. So, you know, pulling out Mbappe from Paris is going to be expensive. I'm not sure if it's going to happen right now, but at the end of the day, we've all known Florentino to make great deals, to bring in big names and great players. And he does anything in his power to do this. I mean, we just saw he bought Eden Hazard for a ridiculously amount of money.
Which hasn't really panned out for you guys, right?
Yeah, that's been bad. Hopefully he does this year. This next season.
Yeah, because I heard he has this one good year to prove that he is he's definitely worth it. But, of course, we are going through a transfer period. The season for the leagues begin in mid-September. One of the biggest news that will be signed close is Havertz to Chelsea. Fernando, how much of an impact is that? Is that a huge deal?
Yeah, oof, that's a great deal. That for me is going to be one of the best transfers. It's being talked some, but it's not being talked about that much. Like I think it should. Kai Havertz is a great player, and wow, Chelsea are definitely putting up. An A team for next season.
Who is Havertz? Can you tell me like what I know? He played in Germany this past season, but tell me what makes him so special.
His ability on the ball. I mean, you always need one player that makes a difference in the midfield. That player that's able to do a, you know, a magnificent pass, a pass between the lines, a pass that's going to put the defense, you know, leave the defense in a lot of trouble. And he's very smart. He's got that. He loves to have the ball. And he creates a lot of chances. And you definitely, as a forward, need someone that's able to do that. He's young, and he's got so much ahead of him. I can't wait to actually see him play there and, you know, assist Timo Werner, pair up with Hakim Ziyech. It's going to be amazing.
Something to definitely look at. And, of course, add in Thiago Silva, because I know Chelsea has had some defensive issues. But Thiago Silva still looks good to be, you know, in his prime.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Thiago Silva for me is, I mean, maybe not his prime because you definitely lose some speed and he was a very well, you know, all around center back, but you know, as age comes by, you start to lose some of your attributes. But I still think he's got, you know, a solid 2 more years to give.
Another more transfer news: Arsenal has signed Mari and Suarez. Permanent moves. Any thoughts about that?
They signed who?
Pablo Mari and Cedric Suarez.
Yeah, Cedric. Okay, yeah. Pablo Mari came over from Flamengo, a center back. You know, they were still playing Socrates and also David Luiz. So they brought in Pablo Mari, and he's a great defender. He just won the Copa Libertadores. So that was a great addition for Arsenal. As for Cedric, I haven't I don't have a big opinion in him right now because I haven't seen him play that much. I haven't paid attention to his play.
And a whole other name also been talked about is Luis Suarez. Apparently, he might be leaving Barcelona. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing Atletico Madrid, but what have you heard from your end?
No, I just actually have been reading the news constantly right now because, you know, the transfer windows are getting lit. And seeing Suarez leave the team, you know, Barcelona, it's one of the big ones that Koeman is not counting with him for the next season. Also, Arturo Vidal and some other players. I mean, it's definitely restructuring right now at Barcelona. But I don't know where Suarez is going to go. I mean, he can go anywhere. Maybe, you know, David Beckham tries to get him for Inter Miami. So I'm not really sure what he's going to do. I do think what he said earlier this week was true. Because, you know, a lot of people were already saying, like, oh, Suarez is done, you know. And he quote somebody, everybody saying, you know, last season, like, oh, Kroos is done. Modric is done, you know, and all of these players from Real Madrid, and then this season they played really well. So he's saying it's not them. They had a bad season, and that he still has something to give. And I'm sure about that. Maybe not in his prime, but he can definitely get back in form and score many, many goals. So wherever he goes, it's going to be a danger for sure.
You're right, because he kind of reminds me of Falcao, the Colombian striker. Like, everyone thought, I think it was like 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, they thought, oh, he was done, he's probably going to the MLS. No, he came back, played for Monaco, and had, you know, phenomenal season. So these players, sometimes they need to go to the right spot, right system to get things going for him. And to be honest, Luis Suarez, I know he has a bad knee. Maybe, you know, two knees, I think. But where would he go if he stayed in La Liga? Like, what is your hunch telling you?
If he stayed in La Liga, that's a tough one because I don't see him in La Liga with any other color than Barcelona.
Interesting. Okay.
But with that being said, you know, I don't think Atletico needs more forwards, so definitely not Atletico. Definitely not going to Real Madrid for sure. So it could be Villarreal, Valencia, you know, one
something
of the teams.
Small.
Itafe, something where he's going to play and score many goals. But I really don't see him playing. If he's leaving Barcelona, I don't see him in La Liga. I think he's going to go play somewhere else.
MLS.
Maybe MLS. Maybe Beckham tries and convince him and join Matuidi.
They need that super player. And I know that Miami is waiting for that right person to come. It could be Messi, which has an apartment. Everyone's looking at, like, well, almost all those players have an apartment in Miami. So yeah. you can't, you know, tie up with the two. Speaking about Koeman, we were talking about this a little bit offline. I heard he was begging Messi to stay. That's what I've been hearing. He has 1 year. Like next summer is where they elect, like, the new Barcelona president. Fernando, tell us, like, what's the landscape? What is the whole context with Barcelona?
Well, you know, the Barcelona, you know, fans, the Barcelona team, the family, everything until Barcelona are not that happy with current president Bartomeu. So it was a risk for Koeman to join Barcelona right now when, you know, Bartomeu only has one more year left. So that would mean that if another president is elected, maybe the whole process of Koeman being coach might be stopped. There even was some, one of the candidates called Victor Font, which is for the other party, a different party than Bartomeu, that if he was to win the elections, then he would not have Koeman on his list for coaching. He would like to have Xavi. With that being said, though, I believe that if Koeman is doing a great season, I mean, you can go, why would you change him? It would affect everything.
Yeah.
So, and also that's why they're saying that Bartomeu brought Koeman specifically because Barcelona, they love Koeman, but they do not like Bartomeu. This was a friend of mine was saying, his name is Carlos, and he's like, this is like causing a divide because you don't like the president, but he brought a good coach, so maybe you're going to like the president because of this if he starts winning titles, and that's going to give you the ability to maybe win the next elections for the same party. So it's a tricky situation. The biggest risk is for Koeman, for sure. And we'll see what happens. He's starting good. It seems that he's starting good.
It's what it sounds like. It feels like a Xavi is like a done deal. That's what it feels like.
It kind of does. Maybe if Victor Font was president right now, I'm 100% he would have bid everything trying to get Xavi. But right now, Koeman's the coach, and I think it's good for Xavi. That gives him another year at least, to get more seasoned, to get more experience in coaching. And one day, I'm sure he's going to coach Barcelona.
Do you think Barcelona will give Koeman money to spend in the whole transfer period, or they're going to, screw him and say no?
I think they're gonna give him, some money. Definitely, he's gonna need to make some changes, and that's why they're letting go of some of the other players. Letting go of Arturo Vidal, of Luis Suarez is definitely to bring in some money, and for Koeman to be able to use and restructure that team. That I mean, they have plenty of players still. They also have La Masia, so I do think they're gonna give him some. Bartomeu is gonna let him try and win. And do anything in his power to make that happen.
Which Koeman, to give you guys some background, he coached Holland, he coached Southampton in like the Premier League. I think he made him to the top six or top five. He was offered like the Barcelona job about 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, but he was coaching the Netherlands, and he's like, it's not the right moment. And a lot of people are criticizing him right now because, I mean, like, this is a worse moment than when we called you first.
I know.
So, but I mean, it's one of those things in life. Maybe he wouldn't have had a third opportunity. And I mean, if somebody calls you and tells you, hey, do you want to coach Barcelona? I'm pretty sure 98% of the coaches would say yes.
It's hard to turn down. Hard to turn
Yeah.
down. Fernando, any other transfer predictions you have for this window?
Not really. I think I've been following, of course, Real Madrid, and I don't think other than Mbappe, I don't think a huge hit like that is on the way. Even if Mbappe is gonna happen, but Rakitic, well, this is known for a while now, but Rakitic is also apparently leaving Barcelona. Ter Stegen, well, he signed a contract, but he wanted to leave Barcelona a while back, and also. Who else is a good one? Oh, Mueller signed contract until 2023, so that's good. So you're gonna see Mueller at Bayern Munich for a bit. He signed a while back, and I think that's a big. I think the biggest one right now was Matuidi to Inter Miami.
Yeah, I know. That was huge. Even though he's not like a stellar, he's like an Ashley Cole, nothing too big. But that big star is definitely TBD, to be announced and also to be determined, because we're waiting for that. Even Falcao would be a good fit for Miami. Him or Luis Suarez, Messi, of course, Ronaldo. But maybe we need to wait for that one big star that'll get, a whole lot more fans, even though we have fans, but we want to make sure that it hits a cap. Poll question of the day, Fernando, what is your favorite things you put on a waffle? Is it syrup, ice cream, whipped cream, or some butter? Topping, favorite
Syrup.
topping to go on a waffle.
That's gonna be syrup.
Syrup, yeah, syrup right now is winning 100%. I thought maybe whipped cream or butter, ice cream will have a shot. They do not. Fernando, what is the best way to reach you and tell us about your podcast?
All right, so you can find me on Twitter. It's at FERU245, Instagram at FERULLOA5, and anybody who speaks Spanish who loves to enjoy, some more soccer. We're going live Mondays and Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and on the podcast Soccer After Hours. You can find Soccer After Hours in Twitter as Soccer After Hour, and on Instagram as Soccer After Hours. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook also as Soccer After Hours. So anytime you want to enjoy some good soccer talks, definitely Soccer After Hours is the place to come.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be definitely eyeing some transfers this week. And of course, news with sports, college football, NFL, few cases in the NFL, but I think they're going to keep things going. Fernando, we have a short offseason in a way.
Yep, that's
September
correct.
12th, where like everything begins again, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's time to enjoy some nice NBA.
NBA, yeah. It's like the playoffs. Like last night, like the 76ers got swept by like the Celtics. I was kind of shocked in that because I thought the 76ers were like the team of the future. But apparently they got to work some things out, like Barcelona. I was going to say all leagues start September 12th, right?
I don't think all of them, but I'm going to have to check back on that.
I think the majority of them. I know the Premiership is the 12th and the Liga the 12th, but those are the two most important ones, in my opinion.
I think in a lot of people's opinion, but hey. Yeah. Bayern just proved everybody wrong, and Paris as well.
Yeah, I know. Should be very exciting. Great Champions League. I went out for the first time, watched a game with friends, and it's been a while because COVID, it's kind of like you can't really – it was kind of complicated. But yesterday felt like a little bit of a release like the old days. But hopefully – I know there won't be no fans in the Premier League and also La Liga, so maybe throughout the season we'll see a little bit more and more. So.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I was just reading the, you know, Sevilla is going to play Bayern for the UEFA Super Cup.
That's right. When is that?
If you can give me one.
Yeah.
Typically,
it's like the weekend before, like, the league start. Typically, or like.
I believe it's going to be in September.
Yeah.
Yes, the 24th.
24th. Oh, okay. So a little bit in
Thursday,
September.
September the 24th. And I was looking that UEFA was trying to see if they could allow some fans into the stadium. That was still in the talk, so that's good. I mean, it's not a major trophy, but you know, everybody wants to win trophy. It doesn't matter which trophy it is.
In Europe, having a big trophy case is a big deal. No matter if it's an FA Cup or a small cup, it really adds up a lot of value. Well, Fernando, great show.
Yeah, excellent, Santiago, and thank you for having me.